Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And hello and welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. With me, licking his wounds, Dustin Schutte. Dustin, how are you doing today?
You know what? Given the circumstances, Jim, I'm doing okay. How about you?
To explain to everyone why I even asked, Dustin is a Purdue guy. So having Indiana win the national championship, and I had to think about this for a second, you know, why is Dustin worked up about this? Then it dawned on me. It all came together, Dustin, and here's how. This would be analogous to Penn State fans having to talk about Pitt winning the national championship.
Yes, that is completely accurate. But the difference is, Jim, is that at least Penn State has won a national championship before. So there's at least some level of like, there's at least a counter is what I want to say. There's at least a counter to it. Purdue has nothing.
And it's only been 40 years, so yeah. We're all good with that. And, you know, it's a tough thing. One has to concede, and I don't have a problem with Indiana like you did. To me, it's better Indiana winning than Ohio State winning, Michigan winning. Mm-hmm. Pick any SEC team, it's better than that. But what I find fascinating is I suspect Purdue fans are saying to themselves, why couldn't we have had a Kurt Cignetti come in and do that? Penn State fans are in a similar boat. And I read Kurt Cignetti comes in 2 years, does that. James Franklin had over a decade with a blue blood program and he still couldn't get it done. Well, the counter to that is there's a heck of a lot of other schools who are in that same boat. Kurt Cignetti, Indiana, they're the unicorn.
Yeah, there's a reason why it's considered like the best story in college sports. Like that just, first of all, that's hard to, like even Nick Saban, and I know it was obviously a different time, but he didn't win a title in his second year at Alabama. Like it's a lot of times that stuff takes time. So even the best of the best, now Urban Meyer, when was his first 2000? So it might have been year three for him. The first year they were ineligible, I think, for the postseason. I don't remember what happened in 2013, but then 2014 they did. So it took him even 3 years. I don't know what it took him at Florida, how long he was there beforehand. But point being is like even the best of the best don't do this at blue blood programs in 2 years. So, yeah, people can complain about – and how many times have I said this, Jim? I sound like a broken record. Kurt Cignetti, to no fault of his own, has ruined college football because, and maybe college athletics as a whole, because simply because every fan base now is like, well, Indiana did it. Why can't we do it? And it's just not that like I think he's proven that he is a really good football coach. Probably when his career's over, he'll probably be mentioned among the greats like the Urban Meyers, Steve Spurriers, Joe Paternos, Bobby Bowden, all those names out there. You just have to reset your expectations. Like this is a different landscape. There's only one Kurt Cignetti out there. Don't ever expect what happened at Indiana to happen with your program. I don't care if it's a blue blood or not. It's just, it doesn't happen.
Well, and you'll hear people talk about, and we will talk about this more too, probably throughout the off season, how the game has changed. And one of the major changes is the money in the game. So schools could be, and a lot of people will say that in a critical manner. I do not, because it gives the non-blue blood programs an avenue to move forward. So you have a team like SMU make the playoffs a year ago. You have a team like Texas Tech compete, they finished in the top five because money was invested in the program. Now, as you have pointed out, Indiana has money and they invested in the program. But to me, the most interesting thing is, if you remember, we've been using the blue chip ratio, okay? I can't remember the sports writer who came out with it, but it was the idea that to win a national championship, it starts with recruiting blue chip players. And blue chip, by definition, is being a 4 or 5 star player coming out of high school. Now, I don't know if they put this up during Monday night's national championship game, but I believe they did against Oregon, did the contrast, where Oregon had over 50 blue chip players. And what was the number for Indiana? I think 8.
8. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the blue chip ratio theory was over. You needed over 50% of your team to be blue chip players. So you are talking about having, 40, 50 of these highly rated players. And Kurt Cignetti does not. He had 8 of them. So it's he turned the game upside down. Everything we knew about the game, he changed, Dustin.
I'm going to counter that slightly because I agree with what you're saying, but there's a caveat to this, and that is they had 45 players who were between 22 and 25 years old. That, to me, that counters the blue chip argument. You have grown men out there, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong. Other programs, other schools could have taken those players. They could have gotten them through the transfer portal, whatever the case. But because of the COVID year and the NCAA granting 5th and 6th and 7th years of eligibility to some of these kids, Indiana was able to get a leg up because they have more experience than I think they – I think that – what was the statistic I saw that they had 45 players over that age and there's like 150 NFL players under that age? So it just – tells you that there's a way to counter it, and experience matters. I mean, I think we've seen that in college basketball for decades, where you can have a lineup of 3 or 4, maybe not NBA draft, but highly skilled freshmen, McDonald's All-Americans who will probably play in the NBA, and then they'll play against a mid-major program in the NCAA tournament and full of juniors and seniors who have been through the works a little bit and have that team chemistry. And they're able to perform. And I think that there's a similar thing that happened here. When you have that, essentially you could form 2 offensive and defense. Your first and second string guys are all seniors or graduate players. I think that that's a little bit of a counter. Whether or not that's going to stay the case, we'll find out, because the NCAA at some point is going to have to accept either the 5-for-5 rule, which is, you get 5 years to play 5 years, or do something about its eligibility requirements. Cause I don't know how much longer you're going to be able to see 6th and 7th year guys play.
It's a great point, Dustin. But I think it actually, in my mind, that doesn't give, that isn't a situation where it's, oh, well, they did this and nobody else did. Everybody has the ability to bring in those veteran players. Mm-hmm. Nobody else looked out and said, gee, here's a better way to do it. Instead of getting a 4 or 5 star young player, I'm going to go find a veteran 3 star. Now, the other part to this is he went out. I don't think anybody, all of those 3 star players he brought in, they weren't unique in being 23 or 24 years old. There's mm-hmm. plenty of them that are going throughout the country, but he did it in a way where they weren't just veteran players. They were also very talented. And I always look at the quarterback position is so critical to all this. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to look at Fernando Mendoza, the Indiana quarterback, and I hope this was on a different show, not with you, that I asked this question, Dustin. Do you know where Mendoza was ranked among quarterbacks when he came out of high school?
I do not. You did not ask me this question. I'd like to guess. And this is among quarterbacks? Yep.
No, exactly. Among quarterbacks, not among all players, just quarterbacks in his class.
I'm going to guess. I feel like this is going to be way off. I'm going to guess 42.
42 is an incredibly bad guess. Dustin, he was ranked the 134th best quarterback. Okay.
Wow.
Anybody in the country could have had him. All right. Then he played at Cal for a few years. And once more, anyone in the country could have had him. Okay. Now he fits what you're talking about as a veteran. Okay. Just like Carson Beck from Miami, another veteran guy who's been around a while. But everybody in the country could have had Mendoza, okay? Kurt Cignetti uniquely went and said, that's my guy. That's the guy I want quarterbacking my team. Oh, he turns into, you know, a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. And no matter how much you don't like it as a Purdue guy, he maybe didn't have this wonderful, you know, through for 400 yards type game, but on 4th and 5, game on the line, he had his Heisman moment in this national championship game. So I give Cignetti credit, not just for how he built it with veteran players, but the veteran players that he chose.
Yeah, no, what I said was not to be like not a derogatory statement, but it wasn't meant to be an indictment. It was just, I feel like there's a level of countering the if you have a bunch of 23, 24, and 25-year-old players, that does make a difference. But to your point, like everybody had the opportunity to go out and get them. I think that Kurt Cignetti is masterful at finding the right pieces, finding productive pieces, and then fitting those people into a system, coaching them up, and getting the most out of that product. Like that's how he changed the game. And it would be interesting to see if more coaches try to trend down that path moving forward, or what the situation is. But it's not a knock on him at all that's what he assembled.
All right, that's the final word for segment number one. Stick around, we got lots more to go.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Schutte. And Dustin, we finished up quarter number one with you talking about how Indiana, in your terms, cheated to win this national championship. And you said you didn't want to come off derogatory. And you did. You did not come off derogatory. You came off as a bitter Purdue fan.
Is that how it came off?
That's how it came off, Dustin.
My bad. There's a little bit of that in there, but I don't doubt anything that they do anymore. I don't know. Like, it was crazy to me. So I didn't, for people, I don't know if I've already said this. I did not watch the game last night. I saw the final push forward, kneel down, whatever the heck it was. But I did see on like social media that everybody but Pat McAfee on the pregame show picked Miami. What a bunch of dummies. I don't understand how, like, they have been so anti-Indiana this entire, like, I went into that game thinking, and I know they didn't, I went into that game thinking they were going to cover the spread.
So did I.
And I could understand why maybe, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, I ended up being a close game. So the it's not like they had entire egg on their face, but I feel like none of them picked Indiana in any game this year that mattered. And it's just like, you guys look really stupid. And I can't tell if that's just them being dumb or if there's some sort of legit push from ESPN to dismiss the Big Ten in Indiana.
I think what it is, what goes on, and I typically try to keep politics out of this show. But what I will point out, and I'll point this out for both extremes politically, they spew their doctrine and they get everyone on their side to buy into it and believe it. Mm-hmm. Now, ESPN has been harping on the superiority of the Southeast Conference for so long that they believe it. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you saw this, Dustin. ESPN came out with their postseason final rankings, and they have Alabama number one. They said, despite the four losses during the season, people didn't take in account their strength of schedule playing in the SEC. Indiana was ranked like ninth or 10th. But they did. They put together a blue ribbon panel who put this together. It consisted of Paul Feinbaum and Greg Sankey.
I thought you had a real one there for a second. I was like, wait, what? No, you got me. You got me on this day, Jim.
What kills me is somebody will actually believe, you know, that, because there's just at least a hint of truth to it. Okay.
That's why I temporarily believed it.
But what has happened, though, I think we have to acknowledge, whether you're a bitter Purdue fan or not, that Indiana has changed how teams build a program, build a team. And you pointed out that probably their advantage of having more mature players, but I think equally important to what they did is, instead of having to deal with the inaccuracy of the star rating or the inconsistency of the star rating coming out of high school. And I've always said it, you know, give me a team of random 4 and 5 stars. You take a team of random 3 stars, I'll beat you. But the fact is, there's a whole boatload more 3 stars than there are 4 and 5 stars. And once you are given the chance to watch these guys play in college for 2 or 3 years, you start to realize that there's this excellent 3-star who's probably better than most of the 4-stars out there. So by bringing in guys through the portal who've been around for a couple years, you have a distinct advantage over someone who's getting 17-year-olds out of high school. I'm recruiting among 20-year-olds, so I have a much better idea of who's a player and who isn't.
No, that's 100% accurate. And it kind of goes to show like how much I don't want to smear anyone on this, but it just goes to show like how little recruiting analysts actually know. Like, I'm sure like the 5-star kids are easily identifiable, and not all of them pan out. And I don't know that they're bad at their, but you can't project what's going to happen. You can't project a kid's mindset, who works hard, their work ethic. Like, you can talk to people around and find that information out. But I think the other thing is, like, the other thing that impresses you about Indiana is it seems like there's a bunch of selfless guys on the team. You don't seem to have, and maybe it's because they're only there for a year or two, I don't know. You don't seem to have a lot of guys that are tinkering with the transfer portal and I got $2.5 million offer from here. What's your offer, Indiana, going back? Like we see from some of these other programs where they're waffling back and forth. Everybody seemed to be bought in. And I think that that's a big piece of this too. It's very similar to me to Ohio State I think Indiana just did it with older players. Ohio State is able to usually recruit high-level kids and then keep a majority of them, not all of them, but a majority of them, and you develop that chemistry, and there doesn't seem, as much as people, you know, on my side, the Indiana, I'm sure there's plenty of Penn State people out there that hate Ohio State, but there's a respect for the way that they go about their business because they don't have a lot of players that go to the transfer portal. They do get some incoming guys that really do help them and benefit their roster, but they recruit at a high level, they keep those kids, and there just doesn't seem to be a ton of drama in terms of NIL. I think that's very similar to Indiana this year, at least the last 2 years under Cignetti. And I think that that makes a big deal because when you're talking about a team full of 100 players and all it takes is a few bad apples there to disrupt that teammate, that locker room chemistry. And you didn't see that from Indiana at any point.
I wonder if that's part of the secret sauce. But before we get to that, because I do want to ask you the question on that, but you mentioned Ohio State as an example. And among playoff teams, Ohio State had the fewest number of transfer portal starters, okay? Now, if you saw, they plugged last year, their national championship year. You know, they brought in some, it was Caleb Downs, they stole a tight end from Purdue. Yep. They brought in, you know, stud running back. And, you know, so they did it very judiciously. But one of the things that Ohio State does is they would compensate their players to stick around. Mm-hmm. And that has actually become, Dustin, one of the talking points at Penn State. And the infamous leaked meeting between the athletic director and the players, that got talked about. And the players were saying, you know what, you're paying for loyalty. You're not paying for talent. And that's becoming a problem. To that point, it appears Ohio State, I believe, has had 30 guys enter the transfer portal. What I'm wondering is that Ohio State making a concession to, you know what, maybe we need to adjust our plan here a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure that there, when anytime that they're going to have some sort of adjustment, I would be curious, and I don't know this because I've followed one team in the portal, and that's enough. There's enough of this chaos to go around. But I would like to know what caliber of player is entering the transfer portal. And that's not to say that they're bad players, but are they – rotation players? Are they starters? Are they, because to your point, Ohio State may say, we need you to be productive. If you're a starter, you get X amount of dollars. If you're, and it could be something we've talked about, the tiered system, Jim, where maybe you as a freshman, you get a baseline of, to do easy math, 100,000, sophomore 200, junior 300, senior 400, if you stick around. But is there, okay, you're a freshman starter, you start out with 150 or whatever the case might be. And so I think that there's ways to incentivize it. I think there's ways to do that sort of thing. But I think you have to be smart. And as much as people talk about there's an infinite amount of money, there's not. You have to be, you know, you have to spend your money wisely. And I think that even at some of these big time programs like an Ohio State or a Penn State, Alabama, you have to be able to be a little bit more judicious and say, all right, we need to pay for production, not just loyalty at some point. If you want to be here, great, you'll get your base found, you get your base number, but we're not going to pay you simply because you're a scene. We're not going to pay you as much as we're paying Jeremiah Smith simply because you're a senior. You can get your baseline, and then if you produce, we can get you a little bit more. But I would think that that's probably a discussion that's being had at a lot of places right now.
I believe it is, and it's how do you allocate those dollars? We see the NFL, you know, how it's done, you know, a quarter, and in following the NFL model, the quarterbacks are making a disproportionate amount of the money, you know, and we're going to talk about that more, about that position. But, you know, there was a story that went around the Penn State world that a backup wide receiver who was a senior was making $500,000, and he contributed, I think, two catches this season. And that's not money well spent. But I think also you hit something where, in talking about Indiana, it's not just talented players, but are they the right players who who aren't going to bail out on you the first time there's an extra dollar incentive to go elsewhere.
Yeah, and I think that that's a big key part of their success. I don't think that's happened. I don't remember that happening in any regard. I'm sure there are players that have left, obviously, but that's probably for more playing time, or they're buried on the depth chart, whatever the case might be. But yeah, I don't remember any waffling simply because of dollars and cents. And that's, I think, something that Kurt Cignetti has identified in a lot of his players, and he wants guys that want to be there. And yes, they obviously want some money, but they want to win and get developed and potentially have a chance to go on to play in the NFL too. That stuff's got to be important as well. So, the other thing that's in, to your point, I do think at some point what's going to happen is some of these players who are on the secondary, on the secondary market, like their ticket sales, as they enter the transfer portal, I do think that you're going to see at some point there's going to be a reckoning. There's going to be a realization that at some point, like, oh, I'm not as valuable as I thought I was. And maybe you regret entering the portal and not sticking it out with X program.
An excellent point. And that's actually where we're going to pick up starting in quarter number three, Dustin. You know, the pendulum has swung all the way over to the players having all the power. Is that pendulum starting to turn? We'll talk about it when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Dustin Schutte, still licking his wounds over the Indiana National Championship as a Purdue guy. That's all right, Dustin. It'll get better. Time heals all wounds. We wrapped up quarter number two talking about, perhaps a day of reckoning for some of the players, finding out some cold, hard realities, like they may not be quite as valuable as they think they are. And a couple things I think have already happened or is happening. Everyone looks at players leaving their team to enter the portal and think, here's that player exercising his ability to go out and make more money. Some of this is, I believe, the coaches saying, you know what? You are not as valuable as you think you are. And, you know, it's going to be reflected in your compensation, and you're welcome to go find a better deal somewhere. We used to call that processing. What that is now is, you know, hey, it's freedom. The players have that freedom. We're seeing it with Penn State, where 50 players have gone into the portal. And I'm sure there's a whole bunch of them that Matt Campbell wishes he could have kept. But I know there's quite a few of them. He's just as happy they're heading out the door.
Yeah, I mean, this is if you want to say that there's a negative for the players, and this is, and I don't think it's a negative because you got to learn a life lesson at some point. It's that what you think you're worth is not what somebody else thinks you're worth. And as you mentioned, in this era where you have to pay the players, a coach can say, sorry, you know, we recruited you, we needed you to be more productive, and you're just simply not doing it. So here's the offer we can give you. If you don't like it, go out the door. Or, hey, we need you to look someplace else to go play football because we don't have a spot for you anymore here. I think that that's a fair thing for coaches to start doing. It's not that I like it, but I'm sure there's plenty of bosses that have had to fire employees and they don't like it, or lay employees off and they don't like it. But there are also, I think, sometimes players who are trying to leave and say, I think I'm much more valuable than what, you know, Illinois or Purdue is going to offer me. And then they go somewhere else and they get a low ball offer, or they have to go to an Akron or a Ball State. And you can't tell me that money's going to be nearly as profitable as it was at those Big Ten schools. So there's just a lot of interesting aspects of this. I think people, we tend to look at the extremes, right? Like, so we look at Brendan Sorsby bringing in, what was it, $4 or $5 million. Yeah. We look at Damon Williams from Washington trying to go to LSU and make, I thought the number thrown out there was like 10 or 11 million, but I don't know that that was accurate. But we tend to look at those and say, oh, the players have it so good and there's no negative side. But there's a negative, and we just don't hear about those yet. And so at some point I do wonder, and I don't know that it'll happen in 2 years, or I don't know if it'll happen in 10 years, but I do wonder at some point if you get to a point where players start to realize, like, I'm in a pretty good situation where I'm at. As long as I don't get pushed out the door, I'm fine, you know, kind of working my way and maybe not play until my junior or senior year.
Well, that's where I'm headed with all of this. Are we, you know, seeing the pendulum shift a little bit? And we're going to get exactly to those quarterbacks that you talked about. But it leads again to me talking about, you know, the multi-year contract where and a player, he could choose to opt out of that, but he runs the risk of coming in for 1 year, being a disappointment or getting hurt. And, you know, the staff could just say, you know, no more, you know, that's, yeah, we're choosing not to renew your contract. If you have a 3-year contract and it's at a, you know, I'll say, the 3-year contract set up $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 for your 3 years within the program, but you far outplay that contract, there's a buyout in there, yeah, of $200,000, $300,000, whatever it is, because someone's willing to offer you $2 million to play. It makes sense. And to me, that protects the players. Hey, I'm guaranteed 3 years if I, you know, keep my nose clean, even if I don't perform up to expectations. And for the coaches, hey, we don't have to re-recruit that guy. He's here for 3 years, and we know if he chooses to leave, there's the buyout money for it. The quarterback position is kind of the microcosm for the rest of what's going on. And it's also, everything is magnified because the dollars are. You know, players are I don't know if you saw these going rates for different positions. The vast majority of the positions are for less than $1 million. Okay. Yeah. Nice money, but not necessarily, gee, I can retire at 21. The quarterbacks, that's multi-million. You mentioned Brendan Sorsby. I think his number was 5 million. Excuse me. And now they're talking about even bigger contracts, and we're seeing pushback with Damon Williams as an example in Washington.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the quarterback's always going to be the most valued position. It is in the NFL, it is at the college level, it has been for a long time. Those numbers are going to continue to be outrageously high, I think. I mean, just look at all the hype around Arch Manning before the season started, and look how that panned out. Very good quarterback, not nearly the Heisman candidate that everybody had expected. And so it's kind of one of those things, Jim, where it would be interesting if there would be a different contract for quarterback. And I'm not saying it's fair or it's right, but whatever, because so much of your success depends on the play of that position. Do you say that's a position we're more willing to go with a 1-year deal on? Do you say, we don't want to commit to 3, but we'd like to have more than one, so maybe we go with a 2-year contract? I don't know. That would be the interesting thing, because the money and the numbers are always going to be out there. And even if they do sign a 3-year contract, it would be easy for another school to probably buy. You could validate the buyout if you wanted to go elsewhere. I don't know. That's going to be an interesting situation if we ever get to, which I think we will at some point. But if we get to that, I would assume all players would get the same offer. But the quarterback spot is just so unique in all of sports that wouldn't surprise me if more coaches went a different route one way or another.
Well, I think that they need to standardize a contract, but by value of player or and or position. the quarterback being the extreme. You know, Penn State had a very talented freshman defensive end who flashed, but, you know, the numbers weren't exactly there, you know, like, okay, he had, you know, 15 sacks or something like that. You know, not the case, but we could all see his potential. Well, he entered the portal looking for big money, and it was obvious he's native of Ohio, thought they were going to go to Ohio State, and Ohio State was outbid for him. Now, there's an example of someone who outplayed his contract. If he had a 3-year contract, it wouldn't be comparable to a quarterback's, but again, as a defensive end, maybe, you know, my example of 1, 2, and 300,000, maybe it looked like 2, 4, and 6 because of the value of defensive ends, or 4, 6, 8, something to that regard, where, again, for the kid, nice guaranteed 3 years, but if he exceeds it, well, there's a buyout of, you know, $500,000, which is fine if he's going to go get $2 million somewhere else. But, of course, Penn State then has the ability to say, hey, we'll counter the offer, whatever. It's free agency, and that's part of it. So I think there's ways to compromise it, have compromises in it. But my point about is the pendulum swinging. We saw Damond Williams signed his contract and then said he's leaving Washington. And Washington said, not so fast. You have a contract. Well, Damond Williams, tail tucked between his legs, had to come back to Washington, as opposed to Brendan Sorsby, who went from Cincinnati to Texas Tech for a very large number, but there was a $1 million buyout apparently. So Cincinnati gets compensated by $1 million. I'm sure Cincinnati would have preferred to keep the quarterback, but you know what? For a school that probably doesn't have the funds that Texas Tech does, $1 million could buy them several players. It's kind of the analogy of in baseball, you know, well, we traded the superstar with the big contract, but we got 3 prospects.
Yeah. And hard to believe that Cincinnati, Ohio doesn't have the same oil resources as Lubbock, Texas, isn't it? No, I think you bring up a good point. There's a lot that, you know, there's a lot of good that can be done for Cincinnati with that amount of money in a buyout. Like, you just get a free, not free, but you get $1 million. And as you said, okay, we feel good about our next coming, you know, our next quarterback. He was going to move on at some point. We're able to reinforce our offensive line and maybe get that edge rusher or get a running back and, or maybe get a couple of receivers, whatever. You can, you know, share the wealth a little bit there. So there is at least some sort of, there's some sort of consequence for him leaving, and Cincinnati isn't like, well, we developed this kid, he went to Texas Tech, and we get nothing in return. Now we're stuck, you know, having to go out and find another quarterback. And so I do think that that is a good thing in college football, where there's at least some level of compensation, and the team that developed and helped that quarterback get to where he was doesn't get completely screwed just by the open market. But it's an interesting thing. I'm interested to see too, if the positions, like you said, if there's going to be compensation based on, or certain contracts in terms of money, what the value of each position is. And maybe it changes between programs. I don't know. For instance, the reason I say this is because everybody's going to value the quarterback, but if Matt Campbell knows that there's a lot of lineage, or maybe Virginia Tech is a better example of this. James Franklin's done a tremendous job developing tight ends. He may say, you know what, we really value the tight end position here. It's going to get a better starting salary than the inside guard position. And that would be interesting. I mean, again, talk about a life lesson. Look at the NFL. Not all positions are valued the same. Look at jobs. Not all jobs out of college are considered the same. So there's a lot of different interesting, like, business avenues and business contracts that we could probably discuss throughout the offseason this year, of how this stuff could work. But it'll be fascinating when they eventually get to contracts, how all of this stuff kind of pans out.
Well, and exactly, you know, how do I build my team? The NFL, they devalued the running back position. And then the Philadelphia Eagles said, oh, that guy by the name of Saquon Barkley, he's a difference maker. you know, will pay the price for him because he's not like, you know, the replaceable running back. Anyway, we will pick this conversation up, Dustin, right after this message.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Dustin. I'm Jim. We're talking all things college football. And Dustin, we're talking about now how this is going to go going forward. And I've been saying this over and over again now that football is looking for like the federal government to come in and help them out or looking for outside forces. I think in many ways they have the power themselves with contracts and how they word the contracts, how they set it up. As you mentioned, you know, the quarterback is unique, but I think it's unique in that it's more money and it's more volatile because you typically have only one quarterback you have on the field as opposed to multiple running backs, receivers, linemen. But it's just more money. And I think the same way by having, you know, extending multi-year contracts, it's a way to protect your interests, your assets. Now, we were talking, though, about some of these quarterbacks. Damon Williams, Washington, got reprimanded. Brendan Sorsby, they paid the buyout. But how about, what are you thinking of Darian Mensah, the Duke quarterback, who ironically, Duke paid a bunch of money last year to steal him away from Tulane. And now Duke is all upset because last minute, you know, like last day of the portal, he said, oh, by the way, I'm hitting the portal. Now, I think Duke would have been protected if, and I haven't heard how this worked, his contract, you know, is there a buyout in his contract? Don't know. But there's talk of like an $8 or $10 million contract probably to Miami for him.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, like, first of all, this is Duke, right? Like, supposed to be one of the smartest schools out there. Very difficult to get accepted into Duke, and you're going to let that happen? Like, first of all, you know, you've seen this happen before. Riley Leonard did this at Notre Dame. He left for Notre Dame and helped lead them to the national championship game just a year ago. So you're not immune to this. The fact that you went into the portal and paid big money to a quarterback, you don't think that's going to possibly happen to you. So I don't know what the situation is specifically regarding a contract or whatever, but if you don't have the proper plan in place, you can't throw a fit about it. This is college football. Like, there's no excuse. There is no tampering. So just get that out of your system now. There's no excuse. As long as he enters the portal within that window, he has the right to do whatever he wants. So, and all of these schools, you know, Jim, have probably a team, several lawyers that they work with who can word those contracts, who can make sure that everything is spent. And you don't need right now, you probably don't even have to do it with every player. Let's just do it with the guys that we know we don't want to lose. And at least if they do leave, get something in return for it. So it's hard to feel sorry for a lot of teams. I understand that it sucks when you're a lower level team and teams come in and poach your talent, but you have to expect that that's going to happen in today's era.
And, you know, on the flip side, these players, and we started to talk about this, the reckoning for these players, you know, so many of them, I guess it was what, about 4,000 FBS level players went into the portal. Not all of them are going to come out, meaning they're not going to have a scholarship and a paycheck waiting for them at another school. So there's going to be a rude awakening, and we see the headlines, we see the quarterbacks, we see the, you know, the multi-million dollar contracts. The vast majority of these contracts are for less than $1 million. And I know, you know, a lot of people will look at, oh my goodness, they're getting $500,000. Well, they are, and, you know, good for them. And that's a paycheck that not many people will see. But remember this also, out of that $500,000, Uncle Sam comes in for his cut. The state comes in for its cut. The agent comes in for his cut. And, you know, too many of these kids are, do what a 20-year-old kid would do if you give him way too much money. He's going to waste it on, you know, there's an old quote years ago when the World Series share of money meant something in baseball. And Tug McGraw, after winning a World Series, he was asked what he was going to do with his money. He said, well, 90% of it's going to go to wine, women, and song. The other 10% I'm going to waste. And I can't help but think about that quote when you're talking about 19-year-olds getting this kind of money.
Yeah, I mean, because when you are that old, and I would have been the same way, if somebody says, we'll pay you $500,000, you just assume, oh, I'm getting $500,000, and not, you know, not thinking about what everything you just talked about. And so it's a unique, like, they're going to have to take – all these kids are going to take business and accounting classes, or at least do some sort of seminar, tutorial, whatever it is, you know, through their program to learn how to use this stuff. And the other thing too, and I kind of talked about this about, and to your point about the pendulum swinging back is, and I don't know that this happens in a lot of places, but I did notice it at, there's three guys at Purdue who entered the transfer portal and then decided, you know what, actually we like it at Purdue. And then there was one guy who left, went to a MAC school, and decided he was going to come back for this coming season. And I think it just speaks to, again, when you have the opportunity to go out and explore a little bit and say, oh, maybe I'm not quite as valuable as I thought I was. Maybe I should stay within a program, and maybe it's not as much money as I thought, but you know, I'm it's more than what I'm going to get on the open market. So I just think that some of this stuff is going to continue to be a factor. And yeah, there's just going to be a lot of learning with some of this. Like you said, with when kids are getting $5 million, they're going to pay a lot in taxes into their agent, but they're going to be able to cover that. But a couple hundred thousand is a lot of money. It also can go away pretty quickly too.
And that is exactly what's happening and going to continue to happen. And, you know, you hit it where the financial advice, those kind of things become more and more important. And I think that's where I'd like to see, you know, there's no commissioner who's going to be putting these things in place. The power is in the conferences, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I always think about, like, and this is probably off the topic of what you're talking about, but I always think back to that 30 for 30 broke and all the professional athletes and, you know, buying houses, buying cars. You have to pay property tax on some of that too. Like, there's a lot of different things that you go out and you buy and you don't think you pay, make a one-time purchase, but some of that stuff is taxable. And then you've got to pay on that. And you buy a house, you got to pay, you know, depending on where you're going to pay property tax on that or land tax or whatever the case might be. So there's just a lot of different avenues. And there are people who graduated from college who don't understand. I did not understand that. I didn't have enough money to go out and buy a Mercedes. But there are grown people who don't understand that. Now you're giving it to people who are fresh out of high school. They certainly don't understand that, especially when so many come from homes where they've not been around that kind of money before. So it's a situation that the NCAA, the commissioners, each individual school is going to have to tackle, or otherwise you're going to have a lot of kids, you know, 5 to 10 years down the road in really bad situations.
Well, I think you're giving them too much credit thinking it'll take 5 or 10 years.
True.
And, you know, this is not me blaming the adults, you know, because I think no matter what you do, there are going to be players who are going to lose that money. It just, it doesn't matter. No matter what you tell them, they're going to, you know, spend the money on the wrong things. They're going to have hanger-ons around them, family, you know, the old high school buddies. You know, there's going to be bad influences around them. And before you know it, that money's going to be gone. All that can be done by the adults is to at least offer up the advice, the help. And if they don't want to take it, they may be 18, but they are adults and they have to be responsible for their decisions. But it also, you know, we're probably getting a little off tangent here, you know, so what does that mean for our teams and how you do team building? And I wonder, one of the other things that you hit when talking about the Indiana team is in bringing in players, are you looking to get that right type of player, a culture player also, not just, you know, the star ranking? And because there's more that goes on within a locker room, resentment. And if you get this very talented player who's going to be out the door or a bad influence in the locker room, they're not worth it. It's going to be fascinating, Dustin, to see how these teams are built and the role that these GMs have in putting these teams together.
Oh, it's going to be fascinating. And I guess the final point I'll kind of make as we wrap up today is just like, I do believe that Fernando Mendoza is a perfect example. He seems like such a likable guy, like a good locker room guy, that people probably don't, in his locker room, I should say, probably don't think about the money he makes. Like, I'm sure he makes a lot more than most of the players in that locker room, but he's such a leader. He's good. He seems like he doesn't seem to have any arrogance or cockiness about him. I think he's got a good amount of confidence about him. And I think that that's important. If you have Joe Schmo who just walks into the locker room, says, yeah, I got my X amount, and nobody likes him, you're going to have a problem. We see that in the NFL all the time. And it's not always the quarterback. There can be other position players who, you know, typically quarterback, defensive back, and wide receiver tend to be those players for whatever reason. I don't know. But I just think that having the right guys, especially at the college level, is so important. And that's why Indiana was able to be so successful, in addition to having a once-in-a-lifetime type of coach.
And, you know, you brought up the good point about, you know, the players who are right kind of players, but especially that guy who's the leader. Yeah. And just naturally, it's the quarterback. And, you know, for New England, it was Tom Brady. You know, is Josh Allen that guy in Buffalo? And you could go around and around the NFL. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. You know, do these guys set the tone? The leader of the team, the best player on the team, the guy making the most money, how is he affecting the rest of the team? And I think you look at that, and it'll be fascinating, you know, with Kurt Cignetti, did he pick the right guy again at quarterback for next year? It's going to be fascinating to see that.
Yeah, I think he did. That Josh, I actually had a chance to talk to him when he initially committed to Indiana years ago. A natural athlete, seems like he's a good kid. Obviously, I don't know him personally. As sometimes they say exactly what they want to say or what they know you want to hear. Yeah, in an interview. So, but he seems like he's been a good kid, and I think Cignetti hit another home run.
All right, that's the final word. Thank you, Dustin. Thank all of you for joining us. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.